Tennessee Titans continue to add to their coaching staff, but players will soon be headed out the door, namely a group of high-profile free agents, some of whom we have discussed often on this podcast, such as quarterback Ryan Tannehill, running back Derrick Henry. But players like that hitting the free agent market means it's not that long until other free agents will be coming in. And it is that time of year where things seem possible. The chances to fix a broken roster or plug holes or however you want to describe it seems likely, even depending on how optimistic a fan you are. And so we will get into the free agency, the pending free agency period, along with some other things on this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast. Back together with the full lineup after a week on the sidelines. John Glennon of the Nashville Post, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Denard Walker, former Titans cornerback. Denard, how are you?
I'm doing great this evening, David. How you doing?
I am great also, and I am David Beauclair. I mentioned the additions to the coaching staff. Colt Anderson has been hired as special teams coordinator. He spent the last 4 years as a special teams assistant with the Cincinnati Bengals, so he's someone Brian Callahan knows well. Scott Fuchs has been added as assistant offensive line coach. You can make a joke here, I guess, about the fact that the offensive line is in such need of repair that not only do you need an offensive line coach, but also an assistant offensive line coach. But that is actually fairly common in the NFL these days. What is unusual is that Fuchs is in the NFL. This is a guy who's been a college coach for 30 years, never been in the NFL. Most recently, he spent the last 3 years at the University of Kansas. So to a certain degree, he will be learning on the job even as he teaches. And then Steve Donatell has been hired as a defensive assistant. He did the same job last year with the Miami Dolphins, has been a quality control coach. Like Brian Callahan, he is a second-generation coach. Ed Donatell, who was most notably defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings at one point, is Steve Donatell's father. So he and the head coach have that in common. That pretty much fills out the coaching staff openings at this point. I don't think there's anything significant now that needs to be filled. Colt Anderson, obviously the most important one there, a special teams coordinator. But we mentioned the NFL free agency period. It'll be 3 weeks until the spending spree starts, and the Titans do have money to spend. John Glennon, talk to us about how much money they have to spend and who you like among potential additions to this roster.
Yeah, it's really interesting for a change. It seems like almost every year, this time of year, we've kind of cautioned fans a lot to say, look, let's not get our hopes up, too high. Titans don't have a ton of money. They're probably not going to be spending a lot. This year, it's different, as you say. I think they're over $60 million in cap space, which I believe is the second most in the NFL. So this is a year where conceivably you could spend that money. Now, do you want to spend it, maybe re-signing a free agent or two on your own team? Maybe, but certainly there are plenty of holes to be filled on this team. And there are some interesting names out there in free agency. I think when you look maybe at the wide receiver spot, I think, which is certainly a needy position for the Titans, several names, big names and some lesser names pop up. I think the perfect fit would obviously be T. Higgins from Cincinnati. Played under Brian Callahan as an offensive coordinator. He's an Oak Hill native. He's a young guy, and he's already put up some pretty good numbers. But from everything, it sounds as if T. Higgins is probably going to get franchise tagged. Other big names out there, Mike Evans, Tampa Bay, 10 straight 1,000-yard seasons. Crazy. He's going to want big money. I don't know if the Titans are going to go in that direction. I think Calvin Ridley, though, might be reasonable. You're going to have to spend some dollars, yes. The Titans do have those dollars, and he's a downfield threat. Last two full seasons, over 1,000 yards. and combined 17 touchdowns. And maybe if you want to go into the kind of the lesser names, but still have some potential, guy like Buffalo's Gabe Davis doesn't have a ton of catches, but he's been very productive. He's a good yards after catch guy. He can get deep. He's got some pretty good speed. And then one other that comes to mind, Darnell Mooney from Chicago, played under the new wide receivers coach, Tyke Tolbert, in Chicago. And he is certainly a deep threat. His numbers on the kind of the troubling thing is his numbers went down the last 2 years under Tolbert, previous to his first 2 years, which were really productive. So those are some of the wide receiver, and I'll go into tackle too, because I figure that's kind of the other most needy position in my opinion. And the pool is not an especially great one at tackle, specifically left tackle. Probably not surprising. Tyron Smith, I think, is probably going to be, without question, the most talented guy out there. But he's 33. He hadn't played in a ton of games over the last 4 years, and he'll still probably be looking for big money because he's got a great resume over the years. But I don't know if that's the right guy. To me, maybe if you're really trying to fill this hole in left tackle, maybe New England's Trent Brown is the guy for you. Monstrous guy, 6'8", 370. He's only played in 42 games over the past 4 years, something to keep in mind. But 28 of those in the last 2 years, had a great PFF grade last year, 80.2 overall. Only allowed 3 sacks, so I think that's an option. And there's some other names if you wanted to go right tackle and figure you're going to try and fill your left tackle in the draft, you can do that too. But those are some of the names, I guess, of the two most needy positions. Cornerback has some also, but we can continue to touch on that later.
Yeah, it certainly, that's what you say when you talk about this time of year, how exciting it can be for the fans. You think about, say, a Mike Evans in a Titans uniform, a guy who makes it look easy. And T. Higgins is a guy I know fans have been talking about even since late in the 2023 season. And a Tennessee native, a guy they would be hugely excited about. But by all indications are Cincinnati has no plans to let him go. A guy who's a number two receiver on that team, behind, if you will, Ja'Marr Chase, but clearly number one receiver talent and ability. Denard, you know it's not just about finding good players. It's about finding the right players to do what you want to do, the way you want to do it. We don't necessarily know exactly what Brian Callahan and this coaching staff is looking for right now, but as you look at the free agency list, who jumps out at you as guys who could make a real difference here potentially?
That's easy for me because I'm down here in Dallas, and Derek's down here training. But one name, and John mentioned that, was Tyron Smith. I'm very familiar with him. Was going into his 14th season. He's 33 years old, and he is as consistent as it gets. The problem with Tyron over the last few years has been his health. But I'm gonna tell you something, David. When he's in that lineup, he is a monster to reckon with. What's interesting is he just finished up that 8 year contract that he signed in 2014. I think they paid him $97.6 million. So he's not considering. He came out in the media the other day, David, and he said, "Listen, I'm not ready to retire." And when you look at this offensive line for the Titans, this was their Achilles heel. And what they need is veteran leadership. So let's say you go out in free agency, David and John, and you get a Tyron Smith. And let's just say, and the Titans at that number seven position, and they say, "Listen, we got a young quarterback that we say, hey, he can play for the next 10 years. He can be our leader." And say at that number seven pick, you go out and you get Alu Fashanu out of Penn State. So he comes in, he's one of the top left, if not the top left tackle in the business. You might could get a 1 year deal with Tyron. I mean, I know he's looking for big money, but you're talking about a guy going into it, excuse me, a player of his caliber going into his 14th season. Sometimes you got to get what you can get in this market.
Yeah, and for a guy like Tyron Smith, his age is one of those, it does catch your attention, but you've seen guys play that position for a long, long time in
Yeah.
this league. A guy like Jackie Slater comes to mind, or
He
Anthony
is.
Munoz, or certainly your former teammate who started as a tackle, played everywhere,
Promise.
Bruce Matthews. The guys who are durable seem to be durable for a long time, and I think it'd be easy to convince yourself that that would be money well spent. I think the obvious connections, we saw how much existing connections meant to Mike Vrabel over the last six seasons, and to John Robinson as a GM before that. I think, John, you mentioned right tackle possibilities. Jonah Williams out of Cincinnati, who was first round pick in 2019, 11th overall, a guy who, estimates are he's going to command upwards of $15 million a year. That's a big price to pay, I think, depending on what else you want to do. But I think back to 2019 when San Francisco made the Super Bowl, and Rand Carthen being a part of that organization before he came to the Titans. That 2019 49ers team had, I think, four first round picks on the offensive line. That's a franchise that had really loaded up and focused on the offensive line. And when you think, well, they picked Peter Skoronski last year with their first round choice, how often are they going to do that? I think Rand Carthen might be inclined to as you're suggesting, Denard, pick in the first round and spend big in free agency one way or another there. Another guy, this isn't big money, but I'm going to throw this out there, get people's reactions. Will Levis is obviously going to be the quarterback. Ryan Tannehill's moving on. Presumably Malik Willis is going to be traded or cut or something. I don't know that Malik Willis is doing you a lot of good as the number two. So what about Gardner Minshew as A, an experienced guy to help Will Levis, and B, a proven backup who can win games for you in the event something happens to Will Levis, or he just really struggles and you feel it, he needs a break at some point. Any disagreement there?
Not for me. I think that's a great option because, as you mentioned, he's not only one of those backups that you go in there and just hope that he's not going to soil the bed by throwing, two interceptions and getting sacked eight times in a row. He's actually a backup that you put in there and think, hey, we still got a good chance at winning this game and then maybe winning a couple more starts down the road. I think it'd be great from that aspect, and as you mentioned too, serve as a mentor for Levis.
And I mean, he played last year on a 1 year, $3.5 million contract with the Colts. So it's not like this is a guy who has an overinflated sense of worth either. And Denard, you can speak to, you were with the Titans when first it was Dave Craig, and then Neil O'Donnell came in here, and there's value too to what those guys can do for the defense. I know Neil O'Donnell was he demanded to be the scout team quarterback so he could get his work in during the week, and talk about how valuable that was to you guys then.
Well, it salvaged that season when Steve got hurt, and Steve was gone for about 6 weeks, and I think we were at 5-1 going into that Rams game, I believe.
It was after the first game, and you went 4-1 with Neil at quarterback that year.
One, and I still remember when Steve came back. It was that St. Louis game, and what was interesting about that is they booed Steve when he got the start, the nod, because they went. In favor Steve over Neil and our team. We were hot. I mean, we were rolling with Neil, and there was a lot of guys kind of scratching their heads, David, saying, listen, man, if it's not broke, let's not try to fix it. But we knew that Steve eventually he was gonna you're gonna have to put your starter back in. But when you're talking about your veteran quarterback, you're talking about one of the most important positions on the team, because if your starter goes out, the question is take, for instance, San Francisco. Great prime example is San Francisco. Garoppolo, he has signed that. What was it? That deal, that massive contract, 3 or 4, about a few years back. He ends up having a little injury bug, and then what happened? Trey Lance was supposed to take over. He was supposed to be an heir apparent to Garoppolo. He was supposed to take over and take that team to the Super Bowl. And they had some guy, Mr. Irrelevant, out of Iowa State, 199th pick or name. And what happened? What
He got
happened?
hurt. He got hurt
Everybody,
early in the championship game.
just like a lot of you writers, like David Beauclair and John Glennon, you consistently put this young man down, and only thing he has done is win. So tell me, most valuable commodity that you can have on a team is your backup quarterback. And you're talking about Gardner Minshew. Now, wasn't it last year, David, in that Indianapolis game that Anthony Richardson got hurt and some guy named Minshew comes in and torched that Titans defensive unit?
Absolutely.
He's torched the Titans a few times. So they certainly
threw a game-winning touchdown pass in overtime here at Nissan Stadium, which to a guy that probably also is worth mentioning as a free agent possibility. Although I'm not sure the Colts are going to let him go either. Michael Pittman is another wide receiver that I think would deserve a lot of attention if he gets out there. But yeah, Minshew, I think the Titans certainly need to, whether they keep Malik Willis or not, they need an experienced hand at that position to provide some sort of clarity at points and help translate things for one or both of those young guys. And
And also to push him a little bit too, don't you think? Like, if by some chance, and I don't think this will happen, if by some chance it's going to be Will Levis and Malik Willis 1 and 2 next year, which again, I don't think it'll happen. But if it was, you could certainly make the argument that Will Levis isn't going to feel a lot of backside pressure at all. If he has a couple or three bad games in a row. After what we've seen from Malik Willis, it would still take a lot, I think, for Malik Willis to jump in there. Whereas if you've got a Gardner Minshew back there, a guy who's a proven a commodity in the game and who can win some games, and is practicing well and picks up the system right away, it's a little bit of more competition for Will Levis, a little bit more backside pressure on him to maintain at a high level.
Yeah, but the idea with a guy like that too is that he won't need a lot of practice time. He can sort of he's smart enough and experienced enough, can pick up things quickly. I know that's in '97 when Dave Craig was signed. That was Dave Craig, I think, was like 37, 38 years old at the time. And the thinking was he's a guy who doesn't need to practice, probably doesn't want a lot of practice, which means young Steve McNair could get all the reps in practice, and they feel good about that. And I think that's probably where you are with Will Levis at this point. Every single rep in practice, the more he can get, the better it will be. John, you mentioned earlier cornerback was something we probably needed to talk about too. Christian Fulton and Sean Murphy Bunting, of course, last year's starting cornerbacks, both among the Titans players scheduled to hit free agency. Neither one of them was I would say great last year. Bunting certainly played well at times. The name that jumps out at me at that position is Kendall Fuller, a guy who has started 93 games in this league, a guy who has played at least 13 or more games every year he's been in the league, and he's had 5 seasons with multiple interceptions. That seems to be a position that is harder than some others to find the right guy in free agency, but that was the name that jumped out off the page to me. How about you, John?
That was the name I put in print earlier this week. David was Kendall Fuller. I think there are two really elite guys, that are scheduled to become free agents at the cornerback position. Jalen Johnson had a tremendous year for the Bears. Had 4 picks. Still a young guy. Had a just did a great job in general for the Bears. And then the other one is Lejarius Sneed in Kansas City. The quarterback passer rating against Lejarius Sneed this year, 66. That's pretty solid.
Pretty tidy.
Over the last 2 years, he's had 5 picks, 25 pass breakups, 3 forced fumbles. A great, great player. The only downside on him is he had 18 penalties called against him this year, which led the league. So that's one thing I guess you got to accept in the package. Anyway, those two guys are kind of the elite guys, but from what it sounds like, they're both going to be franchise tagged. That's when I kind of directed to who might be next best. And I do think Fuller is that guy. And you mentioned some of the numbers, 1,000 snap, over 1,000 snaps each of the last 3 years. His PFF grade over the last 3 years, over 75, each one of them. And in that stretch, six picks and 26 pass breakups. And not to mention, he's a Fuller, right, Denard? And we've there's certainly been a Fuller in the Titans secondary in the past. And perhaps he would carry the torch from his older brother, Vincent Fuller, of years gone by.
Vincent Fuller, a very useful and interesting player for the Titans for a period of time there. Denard, I mentioned it. It seems like it's hard to find great corner. A guy like Darrelle Revis who moved around and could plug in anywhere. Deion Sanders did it in his day. I mean, those guys are super elite, of course. But you can certainly speak to this as a cornerback going from one defense to the next. What is the most unique challenge there? What makes it difficult, or maybe a little tougher than some other spots to find the right guy at cornerback, do you think?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's, the best thing about free agency is getting paid. The hardest part about free agency is that you're going into a new system. So you got to look at it like this. I went from Greg Williams, who basically taught me how to play the game from the get-go and got better in a Greg Williams system. And then you go from Greg Williams to Ray Rhodes. So that's night and day, but not really, because they were very similar in their calls. So you have to understand, as a corner, when I go into free agency and I go and I'm looking at a, let's say, a Tennessee, I need to get with their secondary and the defensive coordinator and say, listen, what kind of calls are you gonna, how are you gonna call a game? Are you trying to be aggressive? Or are you looking to play man to man? So when you look at, when you look at players, sometimes ultimately they're judged, they get paid on what they did at their previous organization. You're paying them to come in and try to replicate and do the same thing. And that's not always the case. So the one thing you want to make sure is that the way that defensive coordinator calls a game, it's much like your previous employee, because if not, you can get in a lot of trouble. Let's say, for instance, you're not a man-to-man corner. Well, you don't need to go to a team that's probably playing 60 to 70% man-to-man. So let's say they're a cover two team. You want to go, if you're a cover two corner, you see what I'm saying? You got to go where the system that you thrived at before, because if not, that's how you can get in trouble in this game.
Okay, but you're a man-to-man corner, and a team that plays zone is offering you 4 years at $10 million, while the team that plays man-to-man is offering you 3 years at $7 million per. How hard is it to say, that I need to take the less money for the better
About
situation?
$3 million difference. Well, you got to see how they go structure the contract first, because you can make that up, believe it or not. But you know what? Let me just kind of give you an example. Is I played in two systems where I flourished, and that's in Tennessee, and that's in Denver, because they were both similar. A lot of cover two, a lot of man to man, and a lot of scheming. Then you go to Minnesota, where they want to play 90%, and I mean 90% of man to man, and I was 30 years old. I wasn't ready to take on that responsibility, and I struggled. So again, it's hard. That's why you always go through the draft. And when you look at this draft this year, David, it's loaded. They got some monsters coming out this year. And you're talking about the Titans picking at number seven. There are some great players. You're talking about Cooper DeJean, Rackstraw, I mean TJ Tampa, and then the boys from Tampa, McKenzie and Arnold. I mean, they got some playmakers. So if you're Rand Carthon, you got a tough decision to make.
Yeah, it's and that'll lead us into our next point then. Of course, the NFL draft is right behind free agency. As it stands right now, the Titans have the number 7 pick in the first round, number 38 overall is their second round pick. Nothing in the third round, meaning they have 0 picks between 38 and 107. So as we're building this roster here tonight, John, are Is it better to pick at 7 and 38, or is it better to trade one or both of those picks and see how many guys you can acquire there in the first three rounds?
If I'm Rand Carthen, I'm certainly listening. I'm certainly doing a lot of listening as far as potential trading back, because again, this is not a team that needs one or two or even three players to really complete things. This is a team that needs a lot of work, and you're going to need to draft a lot of players. There haven't been a lot of good drafts here of late. So now, the way I look at it, on that first round pick. To me, I think the Titans' top priority is left tackle. So if I think or if Joe Alt or Olu Fashanu are available there, the prime left tackles, I say sorry guys. Nice of you to call and ask for the trade, but I got to have a left tackle, a starting left tackle we can build around. So I'm not even thinking about trading there. Now, if both of those guys are gone, certainly you would think maybe one of the wide receivers. Malik Nabers perhaps, might still be around, or Roman Dunze from Washington. But I would still think about trading if one of the wide receivers is there. But I tell you what, if all four of those guys, tackles and wide receivers, are already gone, I'm really, really interested in thinking about moving back, because I think those are the two biggest needs. But you can still get wide receivers, later in the draft. Now, at pick 38, I'm thinking open for business on that, because you figure you will have either gotten one of your two key guys, either a tackle or a wide receiver at number seven. And especially if you get the tackle first, I think there's enough wide receivers that you're not desperate to take another one right there at 38. You can trade out, go back a little bit, still get some pretty good wide receiving help. So I think that's the pack that I would be most likely to take. Keep that number seven, especially if a tackle is there. 38, yeah, I'm definitely open to moving back in 38 and opening things up and getting some more trade or draft capital, because as you say, there haven't been a whole lot of good drafts here of late, and you probably need to replenish the ranks as best you can.
Denard, what say you? Are you working the board to see who your top seven players are and sitting there, or do you think you can do better by turning that into some additional picks?
Well, considering their past, they haven't had a great draft class in a while. But wow, you're talking about where you at 38 in the second round, and then you at number seven.
Yes.
Oh, that's where
On the
I'm
phone, Denard. They're asking you. They're on the phone right
I'm
now.
not sure, man. First of all, I'll be, this is where you have to do your homework, David. You got to ask yourself, what am I willing to, give up? If that's where you want to do, if you feel like we need to go ahead and trade up to get these, especially the first two or three picks, or give this draft pick away, then do it. That's the thing about Rand Carthon. The one thing they're going to have to do, I think, in those first two picks, they got to address the left tackle position, and then they got to address the receiver. And I, regardless of what they do, if Olu Fashanu was there, you've got to get him. This young man at 6'6", 317 is the best offensive tackle in the country. He was the reigning offensive lineman in the Big Ten. Is it the Big Ten or Big 12 now? What does they call
Big
that?
Ten. They're the
Yeah,
Big Ten.
they keep changing it. And then all of a sudden, you think about it, wide receiver. I do believe that Xavier Worthy will be there somewhere in that second to maybe mid, that mid round. So you're talking about an explosive receiver. I think he could be there, and he can be that deep threat for you. And he brings that youth. I've actually had a chance to watch him play. And this young man is an exciting player, and I think he'll be a great asset to Tennessee. So if you can go out and get these two, they're definitely going to shore up that offensive line and that receiving core.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, we all like to talk about these things, but the name is one thing versus the pick, right? That if you've got a Fashani or an Alt right there, like to both of your points with the left tackle, I mean, those guys for all, I mean, everybody agrees they look like elite guys who are going to be starters from the day they walk in the door until the day they walk out the door, whatnot. You know, gathering picks is nice, but it doesn't guarantee you anything. And I'd take you back to 2016 when John Robinson did a pretty nice job, started with the number one overall pick, made a couple trades, ends up with four of the top 45 picks and five of the top 64. Did real well picking Jack Conklin at number eight overall, but then 3 second round picks, 33, 43, 45. Kevin Dodd at 33, you whiff completely. Austin Johnson at 43, he's an okay player. He's still in the league. In fact, he'll be a free agent this go around again, but not a guy who ever became a starter here in 4 years. Certainly not what you would expect from a second round pick. Then you get Derrick Henry at 45, home run, slam dunk, whatever sporting metaphor you want to throw at it. Great. Kevin Byard in the third round, home run, slam dunk, same sort of thing. I think what you're doing, it's important to, I think, to remember more likely if you collect picks, all you're doing is creating insurance for yourself so that if Because you're not going to hit most likely on every single pick, but if you get enough picks, the chances are you're going to hit on some of them. And that is, that's what happened in 2016. And I do think there is a I do think there is a possibility to do that this year. But I also think back, one of the smartest things Ken Wisenhunt said in his brief time as Titans coach, and I remember it was after they drafted Taylor Lewan in 2014 with the 11th overall pick. Wisenhunt's take on it was, you're not going to pick this high in the draft very often. This is where you get left tackles. You need to take advantage of that. That's what we did in this draft. Now, of course, they picked earlier than that each of the next 2 years, but that tackle spot, and particularly since there's going to be a run on quarterbacks early in this draft, it seems to set up really, really well for the Titans' need at left tackle. As we run out of time here, real quickly, we talked about Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Christian Fulton, Sean Murphy Bunting, also headed for free agency, Azeez Alshire, Aaron Brewer, Denico Autry, Morgan Cox, Chris Moore, Chris Hubbard, Nick Westbrook Akina, John Glennon, anyone in that group you feel the need to try and re-sign? You think this team should try to re-sign?
I didn't hear all the names, but I to me, Autry far and away primo number one priority to try to re-sign. He's not a young man. He is also not nearly falling off any type of cliff. He had a career year basically last year. What did he have, like 11 and a half sacks or something like that, and 50 tackles, I think. So I think it would, that's the kind of guy you want to put out some money for, even if he is at the age he is. To me, after that, it's a drop off. But number two, probably Azeez Alshire. Not like a Pro Bowl type guy, I don't think. But the guy had 160 tackles last year. That's pretty productive. Number of tackles for a loss as well. From all accounts, great leader as well. And when you look at who else the Titans have at inside linebacker at the roster right now, I think that kind of ups his leverage a little bit. There's not a whole lot around there. Sean Murphy Bunting, I think questionable, but too many penalties, beaten too often. So those are my top two guys. And people will not like me, but I will still say, if you need a depth receiver, NWI, he's done some good things. He's proven his worth. Might go in that direction.
Denard, you bringing back anybody to this roster from last year?
And if I'm right now, I am on the phone with Denico Autry. You cannot let him go. He's gotten better with age. What, a 28 and a half sacks over the last 3 seasons. Had his best year last year, was 11 and a half sacks. You're talking about, and he turns 34 in July. He's just getting better. I mean, you're talking about your edge rusher and Denico, and then you're talking about the big man. I mean, you can't let him go. He is vital to that defense next year.
Well, we shall see how these things unfold over the next couple of weeks. It certainly is getting to be a fun time. We know you'll be paying attention. Of course, we will too, and we will be back to talk about it next week and beyond on Believe in Titans with John Glennon. John, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Denard, thank you as always.
Always welcome. Thank you.
And thank you all, as always, for listening. This is Believe in Titans.